Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a truth there is to that song, "We Would Be Lost Without the Cross." And I trust that's your testimony as well as mine this morning. And what a great privilege it is even to gather here again in this place and to be able to gather here under the preaching of God's Word this morning. I trust that church has already been a help and a blessing to you this morning and exactly what you needed. And we trust that will continue. Joshua chapter 24 this morning. Joshua chapter 24 is where we'll be for our preaching today. And the Lord laid this message in my heart a couple weeks ago, and I've had a chance to just study it throughout a couple weeks and just spend some time here and there with it. And I believe this is where God would have us to be this morning. I believe there's a great truth that we can learn from this passage and from the life of Joshua and how God used him. And once you've found your place in the Scriptures, if you'd stand this morning, we're going to read a few verses, Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read verses 14 and 15, and then we'll read a few verses at the end of the passage. Before we begin the reading, though, I wanted to give you just a little bit of context here. One of the things that God had Joshua do is to lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land. He took over after the death of Moses, and he brought the children of Israel. He took them from the doorsteps of Canaan into the Promised Land, and as God led them and as God fought for them and provided for them time after time, God used Joshua as their leader. And now we get to the end of the book of Joshua, and the children of Israel are now living in the Promised Land. They've inhabited there, and God has blessed, and they have defeated the enemies. God has defeated the enemies on their behalf for them. And now Joshua draws everyone there to the land of Shechem, there in the Promised Land. He gathers everyone of the children of Israel together, and he gathers all the judges and all the elders of the house and brings everyone there, and he stands before them, and he begins to rehearse the goodness of the Lord and what he's done on behalf of the children of Israel throughout their lifetime, even going back to their forefathers there, all the way back to the days of Noah and the flood and how God had led them from time to time. And then he gets to verse 14, and we're going to pick up on our reading there in verse 14, where the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." And then Joshua makes this most famous statement here. He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And what a blessing that is, and what a great truth that we see there. And many people have taken that and adopted that as the motto for their own family. "As for me and my house, this family, this home is going to serve the Lord." And what a great blessing, what a great way to live our lives. But then I want you to look at verse 29. The Bible says there in verse 29, "And it came to pass after these things," really just on the heels of Joshua making this speech here, "that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gesh." In verse 31, I want you to see and pay particular attention to this verse. The Bible says in verse 31, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." And I would think that the Bible is teaching us here that because of the life of Joshua and the way he lived his life, the entire nation of Israel was affected by that. As Joshua stood up in verse 15 and declared, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Listen, make no mistake about it, what Joshua said there with his lips, if you look at the history of his life, you'd see that daily he lived that exact thing. That it wasn't just words on his mouth, but it was the lifestyle, a way that he lived his life. I want to preach to you this message this morning entitled, "Joshua's Talk Was Proved by His Walk." Joshua's talk was proved by his walk. Let's pray and then you can be seated this morning. Lord, as we come before you here today, Lord, we are a needy people. We come to you in need of a message from you, Lord, and I believe that you'll provide that for us this morning. Lord, I pray as we've prepared our hearts now that as you speak to us, Lord, we'll be willing to listen and let it affect us. I pray that you'd be with me as I preach your word, Lord. Preach this message that you've laid upon my heart. Help me to get across the thoughts that you'd have me to get across this morning. And I pray that you'd meet with us this morning in a very real way. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. As I began to study this passage, particularly in verse 31, I began to think, you know, I don't know that there would be a greater epitaph to be written about your life or my life as a Christian than what God says about Joshua here, and the fact that because of the life of Joshua and during the days of Joshua, that all of Israel served God and loved the Lord God. And even after Joshua died, that those that had been around him, his legacy lived on in the lives of other people. And can I say that as we look back and we see verse 15, Joshua standing up and making this bold declaration, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Listen, understand this. If those were just words that he was saying, and if he wasn't living that, it would not have impacted Israel like it did. It would have merely been just words off of his tongue, really with nothing to back them up. And yet we see when there was a life that coincided with the words that came out of his mouth, when there was a lifestyle to back that up, that's what made a difference in the lives of other people. His walk, his lifestyle, the way he lived every day of his life is what proved the things that came out of his mouth. You know, it's very easy to make bold statements, isn't it? One of the examples that I thought of is many times here as we live this life, we hear politicians make some bold statements, don't they? They say, "If you'll vote for me, then I'll do this." And they make all kinds of promises to you, and they may have the best intentions of carrying those things out. But many times if you'd go back after a number of years and begin to check the records, you could see where this promise was made, but it really wasn't fulfilled. In other words, it was just a statement. There was really nothing to back that up. Many times athletes will make these type of statements, and we're going to go out and we're going to win and we're going to do this. I remember just a few years ago, I'm a Cleveland sports fan. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I remember rooting for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and LeBron James came and played for our team for a while, and then many of you remember that he decided to go and play for another basketball team. The Miami Heat, he made very public his decision. And I remember that night, he had ESPN come in and they filmed him as he announced to the world where he was going to go play basketball. And I remember the Cavaliers owner, Dan Gilbert, that night, was very upset with LeBron James for not choosing to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers, for choosing to go play for someone else. And he wrote an open letter to the fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers that night, published it on their website, and on that letter he began to call LeBron James a traitor. I think he used the name Benedict Arnold to explain LeBron James. And then he said this, he said, "I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win a championship before LeBron James ever wins a championship with the Miami Heat." And as a fan, I'm thinking, man, this is great. Dan Gilbert knows something I don't know. Maybe he's got a backdoor plan or he's got something up his sleeve. We're going to win a championship before LeBron James ever does. And yet now if you'd go back and look at the history books, it's been 4 seasons since LeBron James has been with the Miami Heat. And you see that LeBron James has won 2 championships. And the Cavs have failed to make the playoffs even 1 time since he's been gone. You see, it was just words. There was really nothing to back that up. And you know, it's very easy for us as we live this life to boldly declare, "I'm going to do this," or "I'm going to do that," or even as a Christian, "This is the way we're going to live our lives." But it's far more difficult to back that up and have a lifestyle that proves our actions. And yet I think here in the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua had it right. And as Joshua stood up before these people and he said, "This is what we're going to do. My family, listen, it doesn't matter what you choose to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're making some declarations here this day. Those people, the reason that impacted them is because they could look at the life of Joshua and they could say, listen, it's not just words, but we see it with his lifestyle. We see that on a daily basis, he is serving the Lord. He is following after God. He is serving the Lord no matter what anybody else does. I want you to understand this morning, listen, because his walk was proved by his talk, Israel was greatly affected by his life. Even to the days of which after he had passed off the scene, Israel was still being affected by the life of Joshua. I want you to understand this morning, if you're here today and you're a Christian, I believe God has placed you here on this earth to make a difference in the lives of other people. I really believe that, listen, God, if you're a Christian again, God has given you your life for a purpose. It's to make a difference in the lives of other people. I want you to look to a few passages in the New Testament. I want you to look over to Matthew chapter 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5 this morning. This is Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount here, speaking to his disciples. And there's so much good that comes from this passage as you read through it. But I want you to see in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. The Bible says there, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Speaking to Christians, speaking to his disciples here. He says, "But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto them that are in the house." Look what he says in verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Listen, I truly believe again that Jesus Christ has placed us here on this earth, and he's given us the Christian life in which we have as believers to be a difference in the lives of other people. And the Bible says you ought to be salt in the world and you ought to be light. And listen, if you'll lose that salt and you lose that life, and if you don't have that lifestyle to back up the witness that's coming out of your mouth, you're going to make far less of an impact on people. Be far less of a difference maker in the lives of other people. And yet, one of the greatest proofs that we see in Scriptures, the Bible says, listen, if you're not willing to have your lifestyle back up what's coming out of your mouth, you're no different than the Pharisees. No different than the hypocrites who the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 6, just one chapter later, again in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, listen, when they give their alms, they give them to be seen of men. He says, they're not really making a difference. Oh, they have their reward here on this earth. Men are patting them on the back, saying, good job. He said, but they're not really making a difference. He said, when they pray, they do it publicly. They do it to be seen of men. They're not really making a difference. They have their reward here on this earth. He says, when you fast, he says, don't do it like the Pharisees and the hypocrites do. The Pharisees and the hypocrites, when they fast, they shame their faces and they walk around with this loss of strength, saying, oh, look at me, I'm suffering for the Lord. He says, listen, their reward is that they do it to be seen of men. But they're not making a difference. He helps his disciples to understand, and he helps us as Christians to understand this morning. Listen, if you're going to say you're a Christian, don't put on a facade. Don't put on a front. Don't just act like a Christian. Live every day like you're a Christian. Develop a walk with God. Make it real in your life. Don't just walk around saying, this is who I'm going to be. Don't just make bold declarations and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and then not back it up with your life. The Bible says when we do this, we're nothing different than the hypocrites, than the Pharisees. And yet God says, listen, I've placed you here on this earth to be a difference maker here in the world that you're living in. And yet other people will look at your life, and if one thing that comes out of your mouth doesn't match the way you live your life, he says it won't make a difference in other people. They'll realize the discrepancies. And listen, can I say that as Joshua, as he stood up and he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The reason the people followed him is because they said, we've seen him live it. He's not just talking about it. We've seen him live it every day of his life. And I believe as we live our lives, as we think about what God would have us do here on this earth, the difference that God would have us make, I want to look back at Joshua's life and see two things that were key in the life of Joshua. Two things that were key that enabled his lifestyle or his walk to match his talk. Allowed him to make a difference in the lives of other people. And I believe that these two things will be present in our lives today. And God will use us in much the same way as he used the life of Joshua to make a difference in the lives of other people. The first thing I want you to see in Joshua's life is that Joshua had a relationship with God. Amen. It was a real relationship with God. We see back there in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 as Joshua stands before the people and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, first of all, listen, the relationship begins with me. He says, as for me, Listen, before Joshua could ever lead his family to serve the Lord, Joshua had to lead himself to serve the Lord. And before Joshua could ever serve the Lord, he had to have a relationship with the Lord. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about what a blessing to understand that the God of all the universe longs to have a relationship with me. I want you to think about that just for a few minutes here this morning, on a Sunday morning. The God that hung the stars into place. The God that took his fingers and carved out the mountains. That spoke the worlds into existence. That God longs to have a relationship with you. And there may be some that come in here this morning and you say, Brother Andy, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm saying there is good news. Because you don't have to leave that way. You can leave with a relationship with the God of all the universe. And listen, He longs to interact with us on a daily basis. He loves us so much, He extends the invitation for whosoever will to come unto Him. He says, if you'll confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. And the God of all the universe longs to have a relationship with me. And I ask you this morning, do you have a relationship with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Maybe you know about Him, but do you know Him? Has there been a time in which you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your personal Savior? And if there has, what a great blessing. Because you know that you have eternal life. But listen, I'm also speaking to Christians this morning because the relationship that Joshua had went beyond just knowing who God was and just knowing God to where Joshua had a personal relationship with Him. He had a daily walk with God. He heard God speak to him. He communicated with God on a daily basis. It was a personal relationship. And listen, again, before he could lead anybody else, before he could lead the nation of Israel, listen, he had to lead himself to follow after God. I want you to turn back over to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 1, if you would, this morning. We see Joshua had a personal relationship. And it went beyond just knowing God. Listen, Christian, let me ask you this question this morning. I know that you're saved. I know that you know God and that you have a relationship with Him. But do you have a daily walk with God? Is it a personal relationship? Are you communicating with Him on a daily basis? Are you walking with God as you live this life? Listen, if we're going to make a difference in the world in which we live, it's going to take a daily walk with God, a personal relationship with Him. Spending time with Him on a daily basis. Look in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. I love that thought because the Bible tells us, listen, Joshua had enough of a relationship with God that God spoke to him. Amen. Listen, he knew exactly what God had called him to do. You know how? Because God came and told him. And what a blessing for us to understand this morning. Listen, if you're a Christian, God has a purpose for your life. Listen, you're here on this earth to make a difference in the lives of other people. And God has placed you in this specific place to be an influence on other people. But let me ask you this. Is your relationship with God so much so that He's spoken to you and you know what He's called you to do? You know the purpose that He has here on this earth? Maybe ask yourself this question, when was the last time that God spoke to me? When was the last time I had such a close walk with God that I knew He was speaking to me, directing my life, leading me and guiding me? Listen, we'll never be able to make a difference in the world in which we live. We'll never have the lifestyle that backs up the things that are coming out of our mouth unless we have that daily, personal walk with God. Unless we're communicating with Him. God spoke to Joshua and said, Joshua, this is exactly what I want you to do. And listen, Joshua had a personal relationship with God. What a blessing to understand that in a personal relationship with God, as God's speaking to me, He's revealing the next step in my life. What He wants me to do. What He wants me to accomplish. I remember as a teenager, growing up in a Christian home and obviously knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, one of the things that I was seeking for was the will of God for my life. Lord, what would you have me to do? And listen, I used to pray things like this. Lord, where would you have me be 10 years from now? Who am I going to marry? Lord, what responsibilities will I have? Will I have children? Lord, if you just reveal these things to me. And I quickly found out God doesn't work that way. God often doesn't reveal to us the future. And yet the Bible says in Psalms chapter 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Listen, when God speaks and God directs us, He illuminates the path that's just before us. Boy, it's so important for us to have a daily walk with God, a daily relationship, a personal walk with God, so that God can reveal the next step to me as I'm communicating with Him and as I'm walking along with Him. Boy, we'll never be able to make a difference in the world in which we live. We'll never be able to fulfill the responsibilities that God has called us to fulfill if we're not walking with God. One of the blessings that I admire most about my dad is that as I was growing up, listen, he modeled, he emulated in front of me and my brother's lives what a personal walk with God looks like. I remember on many different occasions in which I would come down the stairs early in the morning and I would walk down the stairs and my dad would be there on his knees on the couch praying to God, asking the Lord to just bless him and to help him to be the dad he needed to be. And listen, as a child, that made an impression on me because I was able to see what a real walk with God looked like. And I ask you this morning, obviously, if you're saved, you have a relationship with God. But is there a personal walk? Is there a daily walk with God? Do you know God like you should? Do you know God like you used to? Was there a time you can look back in your life in which you realize, listen, at that time God was speaking to me, God was walking with me, and I was walking with Him, but now not so much. Listen, Joshua could not get up and stand in front of the children of Israel and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," outside of the fact that he had a personal relationship, a daily walk with God. But here's the blessing. That personal relationship led him to a trusting relationship. You see, the more Joshua grew to know God, the more he realized, listen, I can trust God. As I'm walking with him and as he's revealing the next plan in my life and as he's walking hand with me, I can trust God to lead me. Look in chapter 1 again, verse 5. Look what God is speaking to Joshua again. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Look what he says in verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Look in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, Joshua? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let me help you understand this. Listen, as Joshua grew in his relationship with God, he sensed God's presence with him as he walked this earth and as he desired to accomplish all that God had to accomplish. And Joshua was close enough to God to feel his presence everywhere he went. And he realized, I can trust God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, as you'll grow in your personal relationship with God, listen, you will understand and realize that God is with you every step of the way. I love the saying, if God has called you to it, God will help you through it. Listen, as a Christian this morning, I don't know what responsibilities and roles God has given to you. I know for me as a husband and as a father, as a ministry leader and just a servant of God, I realize all that God has called me to accomplish. And I realize this. As I get to know Him in greater ways, I realize He's with me every step of the way. It's what a personal relationship with God reveals to you. Sometimes we feel a little bit alone as we live this Christian life. Lord, are you really out there? I ask us, how close are we to God? And God's not moved. Many times we're moving away from Him. Listen, one of the keys in Joshua's life that allowed him to make a difference in the lives of other people, one of the keys for Joshua's lifestyle to match up with his witness, was that he knew God. He had a personal relationship with God. And I ask you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with God? Is it real? Is God speaking to you? Is God directing your steps? Listen, if not, He can. We need to draw closer to Him. We need to communicate with Him, spend time on a daily basis with Him, spending time getting to know Him. And listen, a personal relationship leads to a relationship in which you can trust Him. You should realize He's right there with me. Everywhere I go, He's a God that will never leave me nor forsake me. We see, first of all, Joshua had a relationship with God. It was a personal relationship. It was a trusting relationship. And that was one of the keys to Joshua's life. But the other key I want you to see this morning was that not only was Joshua, did he have a relationship with God, but I want you to see, secondly, Joshua was obedient to God. He was obedient to God. Joshua's relationship with God led him to a life of obedience with God. Look what he says there in, again, chapter 24 and verse 15. He says, "But as for me and my house," that shows the relationship with God. It was there, but he says, "As for me and my house relationship, we will serve the Lord." Obedience. Doing exactly what God had called him to do. I began to think about this. You know, the truth is, a child, when they're born into a home, a child is not born obedient to their parents. You know, that little baby, beautiful little child that you can hold in your arms, and they look so cute. But understand this, they have a sin nature. They're born ready to disobey mom and dad. Most of my kids, we had to teach to obey us, and we're still in that process of teaching them to obey mom and dad. But you know what happens over time? As that child, as that relationship is developed with their parents, parents begin to pour love upon that child, and they grow in that relationship, and that little baby, as they're growing, begins to know their parents, begins to see all the love of their mom and dad and how much they love them. And then, as the process of time goes by, there are times in which parents have to discipline their children. Those child disobey against mom and dad, and the parents have to discipline that child and have to correct them lovingly, and there's a relationship that's being formed there. And as that child gets older, and as they realize, mom and dad love me so much, mom and dad want what's best for me, they start loving mom and dad as well. Because that relationship's being developed. And listen, as they start loving mom and dad, what happens? They now want to please mom and dad. They want to be obedient to mom and dad. You see, what happens, a relationship with someone leads to an obedience. And listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, as Christians, as we'll grow in our relationship to God and we'll realize all that God has done for us and sending a son, Jesus Christ, to die on this cross for our sins. Listen, when you first got saved, you probably didn't comprehend all that that meant, that Jesus Christ came to this earth. But listen, as you grow in that relationship with God and as you develop a close personal walk with God and as you begin to see God have His hand of blessing upon you in your life and you see that relationship is developing, it leads you to come to a point where you want to be obedient to God. You want to please God. You realize, listen, God has done so much for me in my life, and I just want to serve Him. And listen, I find that with Joshua, that as he grew in his relationship with God and as God was speaking to him, Joshua said, "I want to please God. I want to serve the Lord with my life." Listen, that personal relationship led to an obedience. And for Joshua, his task was a very difficult task. He was tasked with leading the children of Israel into the promised land. It wouldn't be very easy. And listen, I find that Joshua was obedient even in difficult times. Even when the road wasn't that easy. You know, there's some times that we live this Christian life that it's very easy to obey God. Things are going very smoothly. Maybe God's not asked that much of us. But there are other times in which you're thinking, God, I don't really know. A little bit more difficult in this area. Listen, here in chapter 1 of Joshua, God had called Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And do you think that Joshua in the back of his mind is thinking, I've already tried this once? I want you to turn back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. You remember the story. The children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land the first time, some 40 years earlier. And they had sent 12 spies into the promised land. 10 of those spies came back with an evil report. They said, there's giants in the land. We can't go in and inhabit the promised land. There's giants there. Besides that, the cities are built up. Their defenses are heavily set. There's no way we could go in and defeat those people. And yet there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. And I'm convinced those two men were walking with God on a daily basis. And when they went into the promised land, they said, listen, God's called us to do this. This is God's purpose for our life. And listen, we understand we can trust God because we've spent some time with Him and we've seen Him bless us and we've seen Him come through in our lives time and time again because of our personal relationship with God. And we just believe if He's called us to be obedient in this area, this is what we need to do. Amen. We see in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Look what He says in verse 9, only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Said, Lord, He may call on us to do some difficult things, but God is with us. And here's what I love about this passage. It's not like Joshua went into the promised land and didn't see the giants. It's not like he went into the promised land and didn't see the cities that were defensed and the cities that were built up. No, he saw them, but he also saw a God that was greater than those giants and a God that was greater than those defense cities. And the reason he saw it that way is because he already developed a personal relationship with God, a walk with God. And as he was walking with God, he said, God called me to do this. God's called me to serve Him and be obedient to Him. And listen, one of the reasons Joshua was able to make a difference in the lives of other people is because he was obedient to God even in the difficult times. Listen, I want you to understand this morning, as a Christian, you'll either focus on how big your task is or you'll focus on how big your God is. The things that He's called you to do this morning. Listen, I'm not sure in a room this size, varied in different stages of lives and walks and different things like that. And listen, what God has called me to do may not be the thing God has called you to do. The purpose for your life may not be the same as the purpose for my life. I mean, the idea there is that everyone has a purpose to serve the Lord, but God may use your life in different ways than my life. But I realize this morning. If God's called me to it, and if I'm obedient to God, He'll bring me through those times, even in the times of difficulty. And I ask you this morning, listen, maybe some families are saying, listen, how do we raise our family in a godless culture? How do I go and be a Christian testimony in my workplace? How do I do the things that God has called me to do? How do I make a difference in the lives of others? And I'd say, first of all, just develop a relationship with God. Draw close to Him. As you grow in your personal relationship, you'll realize I can trust God. God's not let me down yet, and He's not about to begin to. And then just be obedient to God. Be the Christian He's called you to be. Be the witness He's called you to be. We say that not only was Joshua obedient in difficulty, but he was obedient in times of uncertainty. Turn over to Joshua chapter 6, if you would. One last passage, and we'll be finished this morning. He was obedient in times of uncertainty. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. The children of Israel now are going through the land of Canaan. God brings them to Jericho, possibly the biggest city or one of the biggest cities that they would face, one of the toughest groups of people that they would face. In verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. You talk about a city that was defensed. No one was leaving and no one was coming. They were prepared to do battle with the children of Israel and they were ready for it. Verse 2, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And it's almost like God is standing there with Joshua right outside the city walls and he's saying, can you see it? Can you see I've already given you the city? I've given you the king there. And I'm wondering if Joshua in the back of his mind is thinking, I'm not sure if I see it. I see a wall there that's built up. I see that no one's coming out and no one's coming in. And listen, possibly in the back of Joshua's mind, a little bit of uncertainty. Not exactly sure how this is going to go. Look in verse 3, the Bible says, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And God begins to lay out the battle plan for Joshua. He says, listen, just compass the city 6 days, one time each day. That's all we're to do is just walk around the city one time each day, Lord? Well, yeah, that's it. That's the plan I have for you. I could imagine maybe Joshua in his mind and possibly the people that he's working with maybe a little bit uncertain about what God had called them to do. Verse 4, and seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. On the seventh day I want you to go around seven times. The seventh time with trumpets, blow those trumpets. Then the people will shout a great shout. And he says there in verse 5, I believe it is, it says, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua's thinking, Lord, this is what you want us to do? Just shout? Just walk around the city and shout, and you're going to knock over the walls? And the Lord's saying, yeah, that's the plan I have for you. Amen. A little bit uncertain about how this is going to go. I'm not much of a general or don't know much about military operations, but I'm pretty sure this is not standard procedure. And Joshua's thinking, we've never done anything like this before. But look in verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. And let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Listen, there's no arguing going on there. There's no negotiating with God back and forth. Lord, really, do you want to do it this way? No, Joshua says, let's go, men. It's what the Lord's called us to do. Listen, I've learned long enough now. I've walked with God long enough to see Him come through for me time and time again, and He's not about to fail me this time. God's called us to this, men. Get the horns. Let's start walking. This is what God has called us to do. We're going to be obedient even in times of uncertainty. You fast forward to Joshua in chapter 24. Children of Israel now living in the promised land because God did what He said He would do. Amen. God knocked those walls down. God did it time and time again for the children of Israel. Listen, one of the reasons that those people followed Joshua's leadership is because it wasn't just words that were coming out of his mouth. It was a life that was being backed up. A lifestyle, a walk with God. I began to think in my own life about the places that God has brought me to. The four children that call me dad. One of the things that I've begged God in my life is that God would allow those children not to just see a dad that talks and says the right things, but a dad that lives the right way. That they could look at my life and they could see, well, I hear what dad's saying, and I see the way that he's living his life is matching up with the things that are coming off of his lips. Listen, the only way we're ever going to be a difference maker in the world in which we live is if, like Joshua, we're not willing just to declare some things with our mouths, but we're willing also to live some things with our lives. Having our walk or our lifestyle prove the words that are coming out of our mouth. And I want to ask you this morning, if we were to examine the things that you're saying versus the things that you're doing, would there be some discrepancies there? Would it be that I'm talking a big game but really not backing it up in my Christian life? The Bible says if we're doing that, we're no different than the hypocrites. No different than the Pharisees who did things just to be seen of men. But I trust that you want your life to make a difference in the lives of other people. Trust that you want God to use your life to be a difference maker. Listen, I believe if we'll get these two things down, we'll develop a personal relationship with God. That personal relationship will lead us to a relationship in which we can trust Him. And then as we learn to trust Him in that relationship, it will lead us to a life of obedience to Him. Obedience in times of difficulty. And again, I don't know what God's called you to do. I don't know the trials even that God has allowed you to go through even right now in your life. But I'll say this, God wants you to be obedient to Him in those difficult times. Times of uncertainty, maybe God wants you to do something in ministry. God wants you to reach out to someone and, Lord, I'm not so sure. And God says, no, you can trust me. I've called you to it. I can help you and lead you through it. Two things that'll help us make a difference in the lives of other people. Relationship with God. Is it personal? Is it real? Is there a daily walk with God? And then obedience to God to do the things He's called us to. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Thank you so much for the way that you've listened. I believe this is the message that God would have for us today. And yet I trust that God has spoken to our hearts this morning. And I'm not sure how He may have used the message in your life. But I want to ask you this morning, your relationship with God, is it a real relationship? First of all, is there a relationship with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And then after you know Him, well, He can do such great things in your life. If you'll just follow Him and be obedient to Him. And again, I don't know what God may be calling you to do this morning. But no doubt, God has something special with your life. Listen, we have to get to the place where we learn we can trust Him. But it'll only be developed through that relationship. If I examined your life, or if you examined your life, would there be some discrepancies based upon the way you're living and the things that you're saying? Listen, if that's the case, let's get right with God. Let's have a lifestyle, a way of life, a walk of life that backs up what we're saying and how we're acting. I don't know how the Lord has used the message this morning, but the altars are open here in just a moment. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, "I Surrender All." And that should be our prayer. That should be our cry. Lord, would you help me to surrender everything I have to you? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we're so thankful, Lord, for the preaching, Lord, and for the message that has been given this morning and how, Lord, you want to apply it to our lives. I pray that you'd help us now as we consider, Lord, the things that we've heard. Pray that we'd make the decisions that we need to make. I pray that you'd help us this morning. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.